It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives, business leaders, and so many other hard-to-get professionals from all different types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Just a list of some of the industries and the professional titles that we've interviewed in the past. We've covered the sales field, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, emerging technologies, financial planning, marketing and advertising, hiring, social media. I mean, what did we leave out? Customer retention, corporate culture, and so many other important critical subjects for someone to get ahead in today's business world. So stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business. We have really an incredible treat for the listeners. First, some thank yous. Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. Meira Beitler, who handles the show's content. Srilly Saftless, who handles video production. Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, here at 77 WABC, and the entire team back at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays an important support role. Also, before we go to our guest this evening, special thank you to our recent guests, Renee Reinsberg, last week, VP of Emerging Products at GoDaddy. That was an incredible show. And as our listeners know, every single show is available. The previous podcasts are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. They're all available. It's for free. The iTunes store will come up. Any of the incredible guests that we've had in the past. Renee Reinsberg last week, he talked about the new app from GoDaddy, Flare. How about the interview we had with James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan? What an incredible. He talked about the Brandenburg Gate. He was there when they went with when the famous six words, right? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. He spoke about that. How about the interview we had with Chuck Garcia, CEO and professor of leadership at Mercy College? He just came out with a book, A Climb to the Top. He speaks about that was an incredible interview. Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, Matt Sweetwood, social media guru, Avi Kestenbaum, Gideon Rothschild, Bernie Crooks, on the subject of asset protection. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And just a reminder about some of the guests in the past. It's all available. Steven Sadov, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. That's, we talked about retail. We talked about brick and mortar, e-commerce, all available. Captain Sully Sullenberger, he needs no introduction. That's available by going to the iTunes store. The website is the easiest way to access it, WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. I'll just read off some others before we get to our guest. Jim Malcolm, president of Rico North America. Eric Asimov, chief wine critic at the New York Times. Sylvia DiGisto, executive image consultant. Dan Sullivan, president of Strategic Coach. Stephen Aldridge, chief product officer at GoDaddy. Jenna Wolf, Jeffrey Hazlett, Bill O'Reilly, Matt Britton, Julia Waller, Linda Kaplan-Thaler. The list goes on. They're all available for free by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, let's get to tonight's guest. With me live in studio, I have none other than Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Some background about a very distinguished guest. Mr. Hart worked closely with Dale Carnegie Training for nearly 10 years before he took the reins as president and CEO of the worldwide Dale Carnegie organization in 2015. Previously, he helped build two technology-based companies, including an e-learning business. Today, he oversees Dale Carnegie operations in over 90 countries, and actually, in terms of the corporate training, that they include 400 out of the 500 Fortune 500 companies. I mean, if I may, Joe, before we actually start talking, I want to list some of the companies that you service. just so that people understand and appreciate the level of guests that we have here this evening. I'm just going to run down a list here. Ford Motor Company, Toyota, AT&T, Comcast, Standard & Poor's, Verizon, Harvard University. Harvard University, yeah. Get some training from Dale Carnegie. How do you like that? ExxonMobil, Unilever, Coca-Cola, Anheuser-Busch, Bank of America, American Express, Johnson & Johnson, Hilton Hotels, Dow Chemical, FedEx, Walmart, Staples, Home Depot, Dunkin' Donuts, the list goes on, 3M, Philip Morris, Apple, Microsoft. If that doesn't impress you, or if you're not familiar with those companies, then I'm surprised you have a radio. So with that introduction, we encourage the listeners to stay tuned for an incredible edition. We're going to discuss about motivating your team, improving your business's process, how to set and achieve business goals. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Mr. Joseph Hart. Joe, how are you?
Yitzhak, well, wow, that's a phenomenal introduction. Thank you so much. And it's great to be here, especially to hear the wonderful people you've interviewed in the past.
Yes, thank you. Well, you're now, you know, I'll be saying it every on and on, you know, from time to time. I go through the list because we do really have a we curate and really work hard to get incredible A-level guests, and you certainly are fit that bill.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much.
Let's jump right in. Dale Carnegie. Wow. And of course, you can address this from your own personal experience and from the experience as being the CEO of Dale Carnegie. I mean, what are the key areas that are so vital to the success of an organization?
Wow, what a tremendous question, and really a big question, Yitzhak,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, there are so many different things that we could talk about relative to the key areas. You know, if I were to distill it down to maybe just a couple things, I mean, one thing, and particularly today, is the whole issue of clarity.
Yes.
Having clarity, not just of leadership, but clarity throughout the organization in terms of where the organization is heading, this, particularly as we look at engagement. People will talk about the millennials and so forth. People really want to know, where are we going? They want to be a part of it, to be engaged in it and so forth. So having clarity around where the company is going, having that communicated very clearly throughout the organization is critical. And then, of course, on execution, you know, being able to focus on what are the things that we need to get done, particularly with the changing landscape. There's such a dynamism these days in terms of business that things are changing so much. One other thing I'd talk about, true, which is foundational, is trust. You know, really for leadership to build trust with the people who are involved in the company is absolutely critical.
And that reminds me, before I get to the next question, a number of weeks ago, we had an incredible interview with Ron Carucci. He wrote a book, Rising to Power, and he talked about studies he did with CEOs, and he has many notable clients, including, I mean, who was the woman presidential candidate, the CEO of HP?
Carly Fiorina.
That's one of his clients, yeah. So he spoke about, we had him on the air, and he talked all about that, many of the points you just raised. How can a business, now, I know that I've heard you speak before, and you talk about the concept of real, and maybe you can get into it with this question, perhaps. How can a business executive lead with authenticity, being real?
Sure, so we actually have done some research on this. I know we talked about this a little bit, about, you know, what are some of the characteristics that really will motivate people to want to do their best? And what are the things that happen that really demotivate people? And ultimately, if you were to put that into, you know, one concept, the concept is authenticity. But we did a cross-cultural analysis looking at 13 different countries, and really it came down to four things that someone can do to really be, to live authentically, and to really motivate and to bring out the very best in the people that they work with.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. You mentioned it was from 13 different countries. That means you would think that, you know, there are cultural differences and segment, you know, different demographics. But you're saying you found four specific measurement that was consistent.
It's funny because we started out looking just originally at the United States and Brazil.
Okay.
And we were so fascinated by what we learned that we broadened out to a whole range of other countries. And we still found consistency across these other countries, across Asia, Europe, Africa, Middle East, et cetera.
Wow.
And so really it comes down to four different things. And we've abbreviated them as real. And the first one is R, being reliable. And so to your question about authenticity, reliability really means being internally reliable. So I am true to myself, to my beliefs. I'm not trying to be someone that I'm not. I'm not being, I mean, people can sense, and the research told us this, that people mm-hmm. can sense when people are being disingenuous yes. and so yes. forth. So, but also externally reliable, meaning that I'm someone, when I say something, I do it, and because that's really this foundation of trust is so absolutely critical, right? So if everything else that follows is not based on this reliability, this trust, it's very difficult to really...
You can't connect.
You can sense it.
You could feel it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the R is the reliable. Mm-hmm. The E is for empathetic. And really what that means... You know, and it starts with a position of almost humility or service and so forth. The idea that I don't have all the answers, and I want you, Yitzhak, are important, and I want to listen to you. It's not just about asking you to do something and telling you what we need to do. It's really, what is it that you see? I mean, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that every person I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn from him or her. Right.
Amazing.
I mean, so everyone true. I meet, everyone I come across, the question is, what can I learn from that person, and how do I demonstrate, really some level of caring for that person? When we think about great leaders are able to connect with people around a larger mission, and having some sense of empathy is absolutely critical about that. And I could give you some examples if you wanted to do
yes,
that, or I could go through the...
Well, let's finish real, and then
yeah,
let's go back to examples.
So the A is for aspirational, and really what that means is, and it goes back to some degree with this larger mission, you think about not just being financially focused. Being financially focused is clearly a critical part of what we do, and yet people want greater meaning in their lives, and mm-hmm. they want to feel like they're doing something that's important. So the real leader is one who's able to connect what the company is doing, what the employees are doing, to something that's larger and more important. And again, I can kind of unpack that a little bit.
Yes.
And then the last is learner, being an active learner. And there are lots of examples of how some of the best leaders are those who really have earned the right to say, I know what to do, this is what we're going to do. And instead, they stand back and they constantly are reading and learning and adapting and trying to adjust to a changing climate environment.
So maybe you can give some examples on that REAL.
Yeah, so a great one around the E, empathetic, because sometimes people will think that being empathetic is kind of weak or soft or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that's very tricky because a real leader also has to have backbone, if you will.
Absolutely. And one great example of an empathetic leader is Alan Mulally, who steered
Ford.
Maybe at Ford. Exactly right. Ford was probably as close to bankruptcy as any company has ever been.
I remember it.
Alan Mulally comes in. He had saved Boeing two separate times from near disaster, and he's brought in by Bill Ford to turn Ford around. And he certainly had earned the right to come in and to say, you know what, I know what to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this, and this. And he did have a plan. And at the same time, he was the kind of person who, before he went through this, He would go down to the company cafeteria instead of going to the executive dining room.
Wow.
He would grab a tray. He'd stand in line. He'd sit down at a table with employees, and he would say,
amazing.
I'm Alan Mulally. I'm the CEO. Would love to hear about your thoughts about what we need to do to turn this organization around. He really worked to enlist people to listen. He had an example one time where an engineer had written to him complaining about or observing a challenge regarding a certain part of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Mulally called him up on the phone and said, come on up here. They looked over the blueprints together, Mulally being an engineer by background,
wow.
and basically said, you go handle this. So
wow.
the point is he didn't presume to have all the answers. He wanted to involve people, and his whole mantra was working together. So here's a man who made very, very difficult choices, and really a phenomenal book, American Icon, is the name of the book that really chronicles this, but an empathetic leader. A tough leader, an empathetic leader, and extremely effective.
Wow. Any other examples for under real?
I mean, under the aspirational. I mean,
yeah.
two that really jump out. I think about, these are pretty well known, and Bill Gates would talk about how the vision of Microsoft has always been a computer in every desk, right? At a time where there weren't
right.
computers
right.
or whatnot. Or I think about, Steve Jobs at Apple, who probably could have said to his team early on when they were developing the iPhone, guys, we're going to make so much money with this really cool phone. Instead, he talked about we're going to change the world. We're going
yes.
to put the power of communication, the power of media in people's hands the way that they want it. It was really about something that was much bigger. So that's an A.
That's a great example.
An L might be, and this one blows me away, Yitzhak, the Warren Buffett. Right, one of the most seasoned, successful investors in history, who will say that he spends 80% of his time reading, learning, listening,
talking. That's unbelievable. I saw that statistic. Mind-boggling. You would think he would be there with a number of computers all wired into the stock exchange and every single financial indicator that exists. And that's all he does all day. Instead, he spends 80% learning. By the way, he's known to have that famous Dale Carnegie certificate hanging on his wall. How about that? Talking about that?
He exemplifies the Dale Carnegie principles. If you Google Dale Carnegie and Warren Buffett, you'll watch a 90-second video where he talks about how Dale Carnegie really set him on a path that unlocked something within him that enabled him to really get over this fear of being in front of other people and so forth. But
and you would think, if Warren Buffett, by the way, for the listeners out there, how could they get in touch? There are many that have taken the Dale Carnegie course or are looking to take the Dale Carnegie course. I imagine there's a website.
DaleCarnegie.com is our website.
That simple.
It's that simple. And certainly we are an international organization. We've got 197 franchise operations all over the world, as you said correctly, 90 countries, 30 languages, and so forth.
Wow.
So we've got Dale Carnegie pretty much wherever people are, which is pretty exciting. We've got 8 million people who've graduated from our program.
Wow. Before we take a short commercial break, Joe Hart was kind enough to allow us to have a giveaway this week. We are going to give away one lucky winner is going to win the book, the famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, I imagine many of the people in the audience already have it. Okay. But Joe Hart is going to sign this one. So it is very special.
For whatever that's worth, right?
And it's worth a lot. It's worth more than, for us, they used to write, it's worth more than a token, right? A token and it will be worth plenty. Over 30 million copies were sold. How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of the anchor books for any businessman.
And by the way, not a day goes by where someone doesn't tell me that this book changed their life
absolutely.
In some way.
Absolutely.
Even when you talk about Alan Mulally, he'll talk about how the Dale Carnegie principles were so critical in the way he became a leader. So.
And by the way, a special, before I get to the sweepstakes, special shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett, who got me in touch with Joe Hart. And he talks about her every year. I believe every year either he reads the book or retakes the course. That's part of, and I imagine many executives are like that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, lots of examples like that.
Amazing. So you could win the book by sending a text. Type in the word bottom line as one word. Bottom line, no space. Bottom line, text it to 66866. And you're automatically entered to win. Again, send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word. And you'll automatically be entered to win How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Also, we're going to have the sweepstakes on my Twitter feed. If you follow me, you'll automatically see we'll have a number of pushouts on that. My Twitter handle is YSAFTLAS, YSAFTLAS. Where you're tuned to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. And again, my guest here this evening is Joe Hart, the CEO and president of Dale Carnegie. He was gracious enough to, we're allowed to do here a giveaway. There, one lucky winner is going to win the copy of none other, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And even if you have a copy already, this one's going to be signed by Joe Hart. So all you have to do is send a text to 66866. and type in the word bottom line as one word, 66866, and you'll automatically be entered to win the book that was read by over 30 million people worldwide, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Joe, let's get right back at it.
And by the way, yeah. not to beat our own drum or whatnot, but it is one of the most successful books of all time.
I've heard one interview say it's second only to the Bible.
That may be true. I'm not sure.
I mean, 30 million copies. And you bump it. You know, it's amazing also. Real leaders, you mentioned this before, are learners, as you said in L. And that's sometimes a shock to many people where they feel like, you know, that guy knows it all. He doesn't listen to anyone. It's not true. The real, like you mentioned about Alan Mulally and so many others, the real successful ones are tapped in and they're great listeners. I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. In fact, you know, and sometimes, I mean, these are people who aren't necessarily afraid of other people getting the credit, right? I mean, they right. really recognize that it is a team effort to be successful and that they don't have all the answers. There's a certain level of the greatest leaders have a level of humility, a level of service and so forth. And so they know that other people have great ideas or ideas that can benefit the whole organization.
Now, it brings to mind in the interview that we had with Captain Sully Sullenberger, how he was so gracious of the other members on his team, which was like, everyone knows he saved 155 people. Like, it's, you know, very, very clear. There's no gray area on that one. If he wasn't at the controls, they wouldn't be around to talk about it. And I asked him that question. It was like, he was so humble, and he talked about his team and his first mate that was with him in the cockpit. It was very touching, actually.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, someone like, and I've heard him be interviewed. In fact, yeah. I'm going to look forward to now listening to your interview because it sounds like a great interview. But, you know, he'll talk about, and great leaders will do this. They'll make sure that everyone else gets credit before they give credit to themselves.
Amazing.
And that's certainly the way he is and Mulally and many others. So
let's talk about goals. We all set goals. CEOs set goals. Business leaders. How can a leader ensure that they accomplish the goals that they set out to do?
It's a really important question, because it seems like these days, particularly with technology and all, we're bombarded with so many things.
Sure.
It's hard to be focused,
yes.
Isn't it? There's a whirlwind of activity all around us. And so, you know, I hearken back to Vince Lombardi, who would reportedly stand up at the beginning of a practice and say, gentlemen, this is a football. He'd focus on the basics. And one of the basics around goals is to have something that's written down. And I talked about clarity earlier, and I think that that's really true. I know in my example, you know, my father is someone who at a very young age had taught me the importance of having written goals. And I can go back and see goals that I wrote down at 13, 14, 15, and so forth.
Fascinating.
And for an organization to be able to go through and to say, what are the goals that we have, right? And to have anyone in the organization be able to outline, this is what we're working toward. That kind of clarity in an organization has everyone moving forward in lockstep together, as opposed to, you know, and sometimes a leader will think that their goals are clear, that the goals of the organization are clear. All they need to do often is just to survey people and to ask, you know,
so what
are our top priorities right now? And if people can't say those, then there's an opportunity really for greater clarity, greater communication, greater articulation of what's important. And that's true both individually for that person to have clarity about what's important to him or her, as well as for the organization.
Correct. And later on, I want to get to corporate culture. So that's
sure.
Now, on that same note, how can a business engage all employees in its mission? I mean, this is really a follow-up to what we just discussed.
Do you mind if I go back for a second?
Sure.
One of the first questions you asked was about authenticity.
Yes.
Really, all the things we're talking about really are accessible to the individual. It doesn't matter whether it's a C-level or a person, or
great
it could
point.
Be anyone at any level of the organization. So when we talk about clarity, we talk about service, we talk about respect for others, we talk about working together, all of these things, and these are all Dale Carnegie principles or strategies, if you will, you're really at any level. I mean, when people started to really embrace the Dale Carnegie principles, you know, decades ago, it really was people who are trying to get along with other people, build relationship and so forth. We're only as successful as we are interacting with others. And so I just want to emphasize, because I think some of the questions you've offered, and these are great, well-thought-out
Thank
questions.
Thank you.
You know, really go to These are things that anyone can do. Anyone can do these things to be successful. Anyone can be an effective leader in their lives, in their families, in their communities, wherever they are. It really does start with some of these
It's a great point because, I mean, this is a show for business people, sole proprietors, small business owners. So it is true that we're coming from a vantage point of business, but to healthy family, relationships with the kids. With the wife, the spouse.
Absolutely. Or I'm sure that some of your listeners probably are they're aspiring. They're not the CEO of the business. They're saying, how do I advance? Right. They're a young manager.
Ambitious
and so forth. And they want to accelerate their career. And there are things that they can do to try to advance throughout the organization. And part of it is, through this working together mentality. So sorry to get off.
No, that's fair. In fact, if I may, I want to move on to corporate culture.
Sure.
How important is corporate culture?
Yeah, people talk about corporate culture, and sometimes the question is, is corporate culture important and so forth? I mean, every corporation has a culture, right?
That's true.
Maybe
you're way off the rails.
Maybe a toxic culture, yeah. Maybe a great culture and so forth. And so really, the question I would maybe reframe it a little bit is how important is it to have a positive culture,
right.
a culture that,
right.
that aligns people to the organization's mission. And I'd say that that's absolutely essential, particularly mm-hmm. in this day and age where, I mean, there was a time where people would go to work for a company, they'd stay with the company for decades,
right.
really irrespective of how they were individually treated. That's
right.
not the case anymore. So people are looking for a culture in an organization where they can connect to personally, that energizes them and so forth. And so I know I'm getting ahead maybe a little bit in terms of millennials, mm-hmm. but I think that's actually millennials can be a good indicator of the strength of a culture because, frankly, if they are tuned out, if there's inauthenticity and so forth, then they'll just go someplace else. And so really a company, an organization today that wants to thrive, wants to succeed, wants to grow has to have a culture that is innovative, is respectful, that does listen, that is focused on, the customer and the customer first and so forth. It has to deliver value. And if that's not part of the fiber of that organization's culture, that organization's values, then that organization may not be around all that long.
Wow. Now, as I'm going to address this specifically to you, Joe, as president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, how would you recommend a leader motivate their team to maintain peak performance across the entire organization?
Well, one thing I would focus on, again, this may be countercultural in some ways, and yet, we know that there are certain truisms about people and what motivates us. And frankly, Dale Carnegie articulated this, mm-hmm. the idea that people want to be appreciated, people want to be listened to and so forth.
Excellent.
So, I mean, it is for leadership. In particularly direct supervisors who work with employees, really to try to listen and to demonstrate respect for the individual with whom they work. They may not do necessarily what the person is recommending, but I think often the person feels like they want to be heard and so forth. So when we talk about individual motivation, a person may or may not agree with the decision, and at the same time, if they feel like they've been respected, heard, et cetera, that they've got value, then that can be motivating. On the other hand, and by the way, this goes back to this cross-cultural leadership that we've done, this research that we've done, that really demonstrates, if you want to talk about things that are demotivating, I mean, it's very easy to look at demotivating behaviors.
Yeah.
I mean, not showing respect for a person's opinion, being
right.
very deliberate about that, or not listening making someone feel as though they're not important to the organization, those are things that can be killers to motivation. And, mm. and we'll, lots of companies have retention issues, and that's one
right.
reason why.
Now, if I may, once we're talking about talent, I'd love to address the talking about acquiring great talent within a company. How can a leader spot an exceptional employee? Now, the truth is, I apologize because I really covered two in there. One is an exceptional employee and one is the spot talent. Let's talk about the exceptional employee. How would you recommend
that? The exceptional employee and the talent, I mean, really the two are very connected. I
yes.
would think that, in my opinion, there are three things that are required. And then the degree to which you see these things really goes to whether someone's exceptional or not. But the three things that I look for, really go to, I mean, the first is attitude. The second is competence. And the third is commitment. Right. I mean, so what is the attitude that is demonstrated by that person? Do they have a how can I attitude, or is it a can I or a can't I, that type of thing. Often, you know, I've seen very, very talented people who can't get out of their own way. How do they unlock within themselves just this ability? They've got raw talent, brilliance, et cetera.
Right.
And if their attitude is negative, or if they have tendencies that are, you know, gossipy or, you know, et cetera, I mean, that's a problem.
It's a killer.
It's a killer. It's absolutely. And the second thing is, and I say competence, and to your point about exceptional, so, I mean, it really is just looking at degrees of competence. But you could have a person with a phenomenal attitude, and if they can't get the job done, I mean, clearly that's not going to work.
Right. That's not going to help anyways. Right?
You know, but the perfect alignment comes when you've got attitude, competence, and then commitment. And that commitment goes to that individual's commitment and the degree to which they are aligned with the organization's mission. Because if the organization, if a person's got the right attitude, if they've got that right talent, and if they're aligned with the mission of the organization, their personal mission, I mean, just
a dream.
Get out of the way, right?
And right.
Really, the challenge and the opportunity of a leader often is to cultivate, right? I mean, so how can I try to cultivate and bring out, can I help someone whose attitude may not be where it should be, but it can go along a path? Or do I need to make a decision? You know what? This person is just not going to be a fit.
Because, right. Then, because they don't belong on the bus.
They don't belong on the bus. But then to your question, you talk about really exceptional is when you see all three of those things at high degrees of performance and consistency. So it's really that kind of intersection that those things are there, that they're present, they're consistent over time. Boy, I mean, to build.
Yeah, it's a dream.
It is. Now, the good news is that there are lots of things that an organization can do to cultivate its talent. And clearly that's something that companies will bring. You mentioned some of the companies that we work with.
Right.
They will often bring Dale Carnegie in. We've got lots of evidence that when people go through a Dale Carnegie experience, whether it's around a Dale Carnegie course or leadership or sales or LTM, et cetera, high impact presentations,
right,
that people will leave with a different attitude. Attitude can be fluid. Attitude can be impacted and changed. And that's really the single most important determinant.
Wow. The
single most, ultimately. Because if a person has the right attitude, what they can, I mean, the fact that they're open to learning, the fact that they're open to working, the fact that they're open to developing and cultivating, I mean, that of these three things is the thing that we look at.
Amazing. Attitude, competence, and commitment.
Right.
Wow. We're speaking with Joe Hart, CEO, president of Dale Carnegie, the worldwide 90 countries. How many different languages?
30 languages.
30 different languages. Wow. He was also kind enough to we're doing a giveaway tonight, How to Win Friends and Influence People, the book that sold over 30 million copies. Well, there's going to be one copy, which can be yours, signed by Joe Hart. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word. Or if you follow me on Twitter, you'll automatically receive the prompts to enter. My Twitter handle is ysaftless, Y-S-A-F-T-L-A-S, and you'll automatically be entered into this drawing to win this special book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And again, if you own it already, which you probably do, still, this copy is going to be signed by Joe Hart. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we have Barbara Ben-Susan of Mishpacha Magazine, who will be asking Joe some questions. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business program here with Yitzhak Saflis on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Hi, this is Barbara Ben-Susan from Mishpacha Magazine, and I'm here with Joe Hartz. Joe, I was wondering, you began working with Dale Carnegie as part of their training team, right? And then from there, you became the CEO. So I'm curious what challenges you faced as you transitioned into the CEO role, and what do you find challenging now as you work as CEO?
Yeah, so it's interesting, just to back up a little bit, there was a gap in time between when I first became familiar with Dale Carnegie and when I ultimately started to work with Dale Carnegie. Recently, about a year ago, I started as the CEO. I'm a lawyer by background, often don't admit that in polite company, but I will say I'm a recovering lawyer. I took a Dale Carnegie course in 1995, and that course really changed the way that I looked at myself and my future. And ultimately, I started an e-learning company in 2000, and Dale Carnegie became our first client. So it was in that context that we developed programs to reinforce Dale Carnegie training that was used in six languages around the world for many years. I sold that company, and ultimately, the people who bought it brought me to be the president of that company. That's what I was doing, really, for the last 10 years. And so we had supported Dale Carnegie for a period of time. That part of the business was ultimately sold. So about a year and a half ago, the CEO of Dale Carnegie had retired, and the search process went through. And so I became a part of that process, and after a very long, lot of interviews and that type of thing, became the CEO. So it's been really a dream come true in so many ways, because Dale Carnegie has had such an impact on me, on my family, on so many people I know. It's an honor to be a part of this organization.
Uh-huh. So it's been smooth? You're taking on more responsibility now.
It's been unbelievable. So my family, I've got six kids, and we moved. My wife and I moved with our kids to Long Island about a year ago in August, and it's been a challenge in terms of just moving, being uprooted and so forth. So I wouldn't call that part of this smooth. But in terms of the business, it's a huge honor. It's a huge responsibility. I think about the legacy of Dale Carnegie and really standing in his shoes and. So it's been a lot of work. I won't kid you about that, Barbara. It's been many hours and a lot of work, particularly as I think about really where Dale Carnegie's heading in the future, right? So this is our 104th year in business, and how do we ensure that Dale Carnegie is constantly advancing and innovating internally and so forth, and listening to our customers and being dynamic in the marketplace, so that we are here for another 104 years.
Uh-huh. Which reminds me that you were speaking before about commitment. And I see now you have tremendous, much greater responsibility. Is there such a thing as being too committed to your job, especially today when people are so connected all the time to their phones and their computers? Is there such a thing as going overboard?
Yeah, I think you've hit on something that's really a big issue, because there was a time where there was clear separation between work and personal life. And now that separation is often so blurred that we're just constantly connected. And at one level, that creates opportunity. Another level, it creates concern, because people can be really too connected and they can lack that separation. And one thing that we know, Dale Carnegie always talked about how, when people are exhausted, a lot of that exhaustion comes not from necessarily physical work, it's emotional stress. So not having that separation, being too, quote unquote, committed, so to speak, that you're constantly trying to respond at all hours of the night to email and so forth, there's a time we believe that people really need to be balanced and need to turn the devices off and so forth. So you can still serve the customer, you can still serve the company in an effective way without being 24/7.
Mm-hmm. We were just mentioning how Carnegie has businesses in 90 countries, 30 languages.
Right.
So I'm curious, I've read the book, I think it's been a long time, but I did read the book, and I've traveled enough to know that different countries have different cultural sensitivities. Some people have different senses of personal space or eye contact or forms of address. How does Carnegie deal with that? Is it modified country to country? Or
it's an interesting question, and one of the you think about, I think about Dale Carnegie really as a brilliant person in terms of what observed. If we think about a Thomas Edison or a Steve Jobs, I mean, they're brilliant innovators. Dale Carnegie was able to capture and identify certain things that are common really cross-culturally. And so, I mean, for example, just people, part of one of the principles talks about, you know, giving honest and sincere appreciation, principles around listening and letting the other person do a great majority of the talking and asking questions and so forth, or smiling. We found so many of the Dale Carnegie principles really are cross-cultural. Now, because we've got operations in so many different countries and people who are on the ground, so to speak, living in those countries, people will adapt the principles as necessary so that they are applicable to certain cultural norms and so forth. So things can definitely be tweaked, but the underlying truisms, the truth of what Dale Carnegie discovered or assembled, really is true cross-culturally.
It works for everybody.
It does. But it's interesting, as I've traveled around the world now. I was in Tokyo and Brazil and Panama and Barcelona and so forth and all these different places. Mm-hmm. And so I observed exactly, Barbara, what you're saying, just some of the way cultures are different, and yet we have thriving operations in all of those places. And it's just really interesting that they are, you know, what holds true in one place in many ways is holds true, because these are truisms about people being people.
Uh-huh. And yet I've heard that there are companies that do trainings for people going to work overseas to train them in these cultural differences so they don't mess up.
Well, you're right. I mean, because there absolutely are cultural norms, yes. Right? And I saw some of that in terms of the, you know, an Asian culture versus a European culture versus a Latin American culture and so forth. So there are dynamics that people need to be respectable of, clearly. Mm-hmm. I think it's our local, having the local operations really ensures that we're sensitive to those kinds of things, and yet having this global connectivity. So that, I mean, we've got, if you said, I'm going to China, are the things that we should know. I mean, often we can connect people to some of those kinds of things. I'm not saying that we're not necessarily a cultural, trainer, so to speak, in terms of all the nuances. And at the same time, a lot of the core principles really do apply and so forth. Uh-huh.
Perhaps the internet also has helped with that, because we are all connected internationally in a way we never were before.
Unbelievable. Absolutely, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Do you enjoy the travel? What's your favorite part of your job?
It's funny. I had all those, you know, 5 countries in 6 weeks in November, December.
Wow. Tuesday. This must be Belgium.
It was unbelievable, yeah. Just the travel and so forth. And, I mean, to me, it's exciting, meeting new people and seeing different places and the culture. It's hard to be away from my family, so that's one of the things that's a challenge and so forth. But what I love so much about what it is that Dale Carnegie does and that we do as a company. It's affected me. Not a day, Barbara, goes by where someone isn't calling me or bumping into someone who says, you know, that Dale Carnegie has had this amazing impact on their lives. So what I love the most is really being out with our franchise owners, with their teams, with our customers. I had a chance recently to give a leadership award to a company called Indeed, which is they're in Stamford, Connecticut, global company, fast growing job placement website, really. And Dale Carnegie is a part of their culture. They have probably just about everyone has been trained in some sort of for fashion. It's fun to meet people and just to hear about what they're doing and so forth. So it's I am very very fortunate to have the role that I have and to be able to meet people and learn about them.
Uh-huh. That's fascinating. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you, Barbara Ben-Zusan, for that, for those questions of Joe. And thank you, Joe.
Oh, it's good talking to Barbara. Great. It's good to meet her, yeah.
Thank you. And I just want to remind the audience about the great giveaway we're having this evening. A copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People Can Be Yours, the famous book by Dale Carnegie. That could be yours by sending a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word. 66866, that's the text number. Put in bottom line as one word and you automatically enter to win a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People, signed by Joseph Hart, the CEO and president of Dale Carnegie. Joe, let's turn to when we talked before about cultural differences, and before we touched on the idea about generational differences, do you see a big difference in the way a leader should interact with millennials versus Gen Z, Gen X? How would you address that from your vantage point?
It's a greater sensitivity is really what it is. I mean, this goes really to what Barbara was asking even about culturally. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people are people.
At the end of the day.
All people have a need to be appreciated, to be valued, respected, to be listened to. Everyone mm-hmm. loves to hear their name. I mean, those types of things. I mean, there's just different principles that apply. Mm-hmm. You know, the question is the application of those principles, you know, and really I think that with, you know, different generations, particularly with the millennial generation, there are different expectations about, you know, the way things should be and how people should be treated and so forth. And I think there's a greater requirement if you want to engage a millennial population really to have a sensitivity. I mean, really, this autocratic leadership really doesn't play very well with the millennial generation, whereas in prior generations, you know, it would not be unusual for someone to say, hey, Yitzhak, you go do this, and, just when you're done, tell me. I mean, it's there's more a desire for millennials to understand why. You know, why are you asking me to do this, and what's the value of this, and so forth. So for some people, some generations, that requires a degree of patience and so forth, right. And just it's different.
So how important is it for a leader to express their appreciation to people in general?
I know, I'm sorry,
it may be like a stupid question. You got to be appreciative. I want to bring that out from someone, from the CEO of Dale Carnegie, to those out there who just don't get it.
Look, it's critical. I mean, you know, it depends on the kind of, you know, culture you want to have and environment. Right. And I'm not saying that the leader has to constantly, every other word out of his or her mouth is right. Thank you and so forth. But we were talking about tips earlier too. I mean, to have it be sincere appreciation, because someone could hear this show and they could say, "Oh, all right, I'll just Yitzhak, thank you very much." You know, I mean, to really look inside and say, you know, why do I appreciate Yitzhak? You know, Yitzhak, you know, I noticed that you came in early last week, and I noticed that you. You know, you worked really hard in this project. Right. I know that you probably had to cancel some things to be here. You know, really, I just want to, you know, express that appreciation to you. You're, you know, real team worker.
And of course, I'll remember that. And the person on the team will remember that and be grateful that the owner, that the CEO was grateful to them.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes people don't realize how important, you know, words and gestures and things like that can be, and things that can be memorable for many times. People will go back sometimes, and I can imagine you could go back, or someone goes back and says to a spouse or significant other, "Wow, you know, Yitzhak really gave me a great compliment today that really meant a lot to me." Really, you know, so I mean, something like that can be very motivating. People want to feel like they are making a difference and that they're appreciated. And you know, and again, the opposite side of the coin is true too. That when people feel deliberately disregarded or deliberately unappreciated, or you know, like, I mean, how many times have we heard people say that? Oh, so and so just doesn't care. They don't care. You know, well, I mean, how does that make us feel, right? So,
absolutely. In the few minutes that we have remaining, I would love to talk about the importance of a business having a process in place. And I've heard you speak about this on stage at C-Suite, and a special thank you to Jeffrey Hazlett for getting me in touch with Joseph Hart. How important is it for a business to have a process in place?
I mean, it process throughout the organization is absolutely critical. And in fact, I mean, some of the things that we talked about at C-suite was even a process that we're putting in place at Dale Carnegie.
Right.
I mean, we teach different process within our leadership training programs and so forth, and we also implement process. But, you know, to be able to articulate this is, you know, that there's a best practice for doing things. We have a franchise, and so how can I outline really the best way to operate and so forth,
right,
is critical. We are implementing internally a process known as BPR, Business Plan Review Process, which is part of the Mullally theory. It involves our leadership team getting together once a week, going through all the core metrics of the business, really coming together and to collaborate and really understand where are we going and, you know, what's working, what's not working, where do we pivot and so forth. So, you know, this issue of clarity also goes to transparency. And so when you've got process and you've got clear process, then there's greater transparency, and that also can create more connectivity and connectedness between people throughout the organization. So,
now, are they, you touched on it just a moment ago. Are there any tools you recommend to ensure that a business the process they're putting in place is being adhered to and running smoothly?
So when you say process, I mean, are there any particular processes you have in mind when you ask that question?
It could be meeting business objectives, employees, you know, staying on track with what the objectives are of the company. And
yeah,
I know it's an open-ended question, but just...
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole series of processes and things that we teach throughout our program.
Mm-hmm.
So those processes might involve things like how to give a powerful presentation, I mean, or,
right,
you know,
right,
within an organization, you know, how do you do performance reviews? How do you help, you know, really connect people to that larger mission? How do you establish a mission, vision, values, et cetera? So, I mean, there are a range of things that we teach. But underlying your question, I think, is the importance that people be intentional, that companies,
correct,
be intentional,
correct,
about the way that they're operating. And in doing so, you connect people, you create effectiveness, efficiency, et cetera. So...
Now, how can let's move on to staff meetings. A little bit, we'll touch on time management just briefly. How can a business make its staff meetings more productive? Any tips on that?
A couple tips. I mean,
okay.
So one is, how many times have you been in a meeting where you have a meeting and you sit down and then all of a sudden the meeting starts, right? And people start talking.
Right.
What is the objective of this meeting? I mean, I think it's very important at the beginning of every meeting to be very clear, for everyone to be clear about what it is that we're here to accomplish and so forth. I think it's also important sometimes to have less time than you think you need. I mean, sometimes people will say, you know, I'd like to meet with you for an hour. And I'll say, well, let's meet for half an hour. I mean,
right,
when you and I met, we met for 45
that's
minutes.
Right.
Boy, I've never
that's
met right someone. I mean, you were so prepared,
thank
methodical.
You.
That was a really terrific meeting.
Thank
because,
you
know, and things will expand or contract to the amount of time that you have. You schedule a two-hour meeting. You schedule a 30-minute meeting. I mean, so to some degree, having a meeting that is concise, having a meeting that values people's time,
mm-hmm,
having a meeting that, as I mentioned, has got clear objectives in the beginning and the end. I like to start meetings sometimes by saying, you know, this meeting ends in 30 or 60 minutes. What has to happen in this meeting for this to be really been, we're walking out for us to say that was a phenomenal meeting? What are the outcomes we're trying to look for? So to have some of that clarity established up front is very important.
I love it.
A couple of tips, I mean, for whatever
yeah,
they're
no,
worth.
Yeah, no, they're very important. In fact, there's a very good book out there by Bob Salert called Start With the Answer. He is actually, he is the chairman of Saatchi & Saatchi. It's a really great book. And all he, you know, starting off with the objective, it happens to be that's kind of how I'm wired as well. I love going in with that angle. What is the objective? And then let's work backwards so we don't just run off the rails.
Well, and I like to start the proposition that most people... You know, don't like meetings, right? I mean, you can have people talk about death by PowerPoint.
All you have to do is go, right?
You can have death by meeting. Right? It's like, because what happens is, as you're in a meeting, all of the work that we have still accumulates.
Right.
So it just means
right
that I'm getting out of a meeting at 4 or 5 o'clock. Now I've got the rest of my
all
work
that
to get
do
to. So it does demonstrate respect to people in a meeting to have, you know, clearly defined objectives up front that you can adhere and honor the time frames, really. I mean, to say if it's a 30-minute meeting, it's a 30-minute meeting. So...
Joe, as we approach the close, first of all, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
My pleasure.
What final thoughts would you share with the audience here on 77 WABC?
No, I would say, first of all, thank you for having me. I really
please
appreciate it.
It's been an honor.
It's been a lot of
by
fun.
By the way, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can we do it again?
I'd be honored to do it again.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Just okay, we got some. Justin,
yeah,
You heard it here live, so we've along got, with we've, the thousands of others.
We've got witnesses.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I would say, again, you know, so often we focus on, you know, being individually focused, and that's important. It's important for all of us to have goals and so forth. And at the same time, the most effective leaders, the most effective individuals are those who really demonstrate an understanding of human relations principles, of really how to interact with people in an effective way. And really that can be the single thing that defines a career or undermines a career. So I would just encourage people to recognize that and to invest in that. We do have a free resource, which is I'm holding here our Dale Carnegie Golden Book. This is something that we
give
out.
How could someone get that?
They can go to our website, dalecarnegie.com. You can the Golden Book is there to
the
download.
Golden Book.
You can download
it. Yes, I have my copy.
It's got 30 principles that come from How to Win Friends and Influence People, and 30 mm-hmm. principles from How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And again, these are things that really can guide people. So many some of the most successful people in American history and other, you know, internationally, have been Dale Carnegie graduates or have embraced
among them
these
Warren
principles.
Buffett.
Yeah, just one of so many. And so, but these are things that if people live them, they will see better results, great results in their lives. It's just I can't imagine that if you live these things. So that's my pitch, my plea, whatever you want to call it. So.
That's great. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you.
Really. That was
great.
Joe Hart. It was, what an incredible interview. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. In a couple of days, this entire interview will be available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. You'll see Joe's picture. If you scroll down, you look at the recent guests, and you click on it, it will automatically take you to the iTunes store where you'll get to hear the entire interview. Also, a reminder for the listeners of Mind Your Business, Joe was kind enough to give away a copy here of How to Win Friends and Influence People, which he will personally sign. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, 66866, and put in the word bottom line as one word, and you'll automatically be entered. Well, that brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. Stay tuned for John Batchelor up next, and tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.